It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 159 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray. On today, we have a special topic that was presented to us by listener Wes Cargill. So shout out to Wes for taking the initiative and letting us know that this was something that the people needed to hear about.
In the past, we've dedicated a lot of episodes wholly to focusing on one area of X-Wing strategy, and a huge one of those that we haven't approached for a little while is the idea of target priority and how you determine where you should put your offensive focus when you're playing X-Wing.
Yeah, and this is a topic, you know, we might have covered in our first year of the show, but, you know, when you've been at it over 3 years, sometimes you do have to revisit a topic. And what's fun about revisiting a topic is, you know, Tim and I have both learned and grown as players, so I think we have a lot more to add now when we talk about target priority.
Yeah, and I really love these big topics, especially things like target priority, because these are concepts that apply to all X-Wing players. It's not just going to be limited into any one type of strategy or one type of play style. This is something that affects every person who plays X-Wing, so it's really something you want to figure out and have a good concept of so that you can improve your X-Wing game and start taking those big events.
Yeah, you know, target priority, a lot of people have a pretty basic understanding of, but, you know, I do see people get it wrong quite a bit. So we're going to try and give you our advanced tips here on target priority today.
So the way I always like to start these big topics here is we're going to throw around the phrase target priority a lot. And before we dive too deep into like specific concepts that apply to it, I think it's always good to lay down a good definition of what we mean when we use that exact phrase target priority.
Absolutely. And you know what? The definition for target priority, pretty simple. That's just choosing which of your opponent's ships you want to focus your offense on.
Yeah, and this is a straightforward concept. It's at the core of the game because it's really deciding, okay, I have these resources that I've brought in my list. How am I going to apply those so that I can win the game? And this is actually a really interesting topic because it's something that's developed for us. Our perception of it has changed over time and improved, I'd like to say, over time. Because I think back in the day when we talk about target priority, we would talk about it in a very static kind of overarching tactical way where we'd include it more as part of your big picture plan, where it's from the start, you'd make decisions and then try to follow through on those decisions over time. But as I've played the game more and more and performed at more high-level tournaments, I've learned that target priority is something that's a lot more fluid and that you need to be aware of when you need to shift your target priority between ships.
Absolutely. I mean, it is important to go into a game with a plan, but, you know, having a firm plan can be a trap. It's something you want to be reassessing turn after turn.
There are a lot of variables in X-Wing, and situations are definitely going to change. The way you can use your resources are going to change based on damage you take or the position your ships end up in. So you want to be willing to actively make decisions that, you know, maybe this wasn't the initial strategy that you had planned when you set some maneuvers or started setting up your positioning in the first couple turns of the game. But you need to be ready to go, okay, I'm going to evaluate each turn and make sure that I'm really putting my target priority on the right target.
Right. I mean, so it's very easy to identify, okay, that's the best ship my opponent's bringing. I want to destroy that. But that's the simple approach, and that can lead you down the wrong path. So we want to recommend taking the more adaptive approach of responding to, you know, what moves your opponent takes, what their vulnerable ships are. And so we're going to spend the rest of the episode kind of focusing on what do you need to take in mind to consider the adaptive approach to target priority.
And as our perspective has shifted over time, a lot of that has to do with the new edition of the game. And I think probably the biggest factor is that points really do matter in second edition. Now that every ship, regardless of size, gives up half of its points when it loses half of its hit points. So that's a huge factor in determining winning games. I mean, in second edition, since I've started playing, I've had so many more games go to time with maybe even sometimes only half or fewer of the ships actually destroyed. So those point differences are a more determining factor in those games than they would be in first edition.
Absolutely. Points matter quite a bit. And so when you're trying to score points, you know, that's going to be the first factor of target priority, you know, just figuring out how I can score points. And so you want to do that efficiently. And that means asking yourself, okay, you know, of course, how many points is this ship I'm looking at worth? And then, you know, what's the trade-off for those points? How many turns is it going to cost me to get that ship? And my opponent might be shooting back at me. So how much damage, you know, approximately, am I going to have to trade to destroy that ship or get half points on it?
Yeah, and this was something that came up for me, too, when I was doing the opening weekend quick build event for the two new factions. I was running a Republic list, and I threw the Anakin quick build, which is amazing, the Wolf quick build, and then just the Jedi Knight quick build, which is basically just the 7B configuration. And what I found was people were putting a lot of attention on the Jedi Knight, which was not the most threatening part of that list. But the more turns and attacks they dedicated to shooting the Jedi Knight, even if they were putting damage through, even if they were killing it, that gave my other ships opportunity to just lay down a bunch of damage where, sure, my opponent maybe killed my Jedi Knight after three or four turns of chasing it down, but it put them at a huge disadvantage because I had so many turns there of just open opportunities to lay down damage on their other ships.
Right, and the converse one that I think about when we're looking at the cost of damage is that Lulo Lampar A-Wing. You know, sometimes he lets the shields down and gets stressed. So, you know, it's only two green dice for four hit points. But if he's in the right position, you know, only one ship shooting at him in return, you know, he's rolling three or four red dice at you as well. So quite often, you know, for his points, you know, just around 40 points, he's going to deal more damage than it's going to take to get him.
And it's really easy to misvalue a target, like it's, whether it's a Jedi Knight or Lulo Lampar, where you can put too much weight into it and you can make a lot of decisions based on your perception of how easy that ship is going to be to kill. Because there's a perception that Lulo is very easy to kill. But if a player's using Lulo right, Lulo's maybe only going to take one or maybe two shots in a round. And if that opens up opportunities for your opponent to send in their other ships to lay down some serious damage, it's really not worth dedicating the resources to take Lulo down in the first engagement or second engagement.
Right. So just kind of in general there, you don't want to dedicate a lot of resources to a less valuable target. You want to maximize getting the most points for the minimal cost.
Another important aspect of target priority is making sure you are putting an emphasis on dealing damage, and particularly dealing significant damage.
Right, so this really comes in to question when you're selecting between multiple targets on a turn. And there's quite a bit to consider there. And, you know, you see this situation happen quite a bit where, you know, okay, maybe the ship you were thinking about going for landed in your arc, but then perhaps even a more high value target also landed within range.
Yeah, and suddenly you find yourself in a position where you have to decide, given multiple shots that might be effective, which one you need to prioritize the most. And this is kind of a complicated decision-making process because it's not always exactly clear which target is going to be the best target, because we have an inclination to go towards the target that we can deal the most damage to. And oftentimes that is the correct decision, but oftentimes you'll also have to factor in different things. I think a big part of that too is that not all damage is equally valuable on ships. So if a ship has a lot of hit points and, you know, hull and shields like Boba Fett or Millennium Falcon, dealing 3 points of damage on that is good, but it's not necessarily going to be a significant game-breaking factor. You might not even cut through shields. It's still going to have the same offensive output. Whereas dealing 3 damage on an X-Wing or a Jedi Starfighter, that's going to get you to half points, which is a huge factor. And then you also get it into a range where it's closer to death, where suddenly one shot could actually make the determination between that ship staying on for another round and going away.
Yeah, so the other decision I want to make when, you know, deciding which ships to target is, well, how many ships do I have that can focus on any of these targets? You know, if I can throw the same number of shots on each target, well, then that's kind of a wash. But a lot of cases, you know, you'll have one good shot on a ship, but two of your ships will be able to shoot at, you know, another slightly less optimal target. And it's often better to focus your fire there that turn, you know, because most ships only have, you know, one focus token for defense. So the more shots a turn you can put on a target, the more damage you'll be able to push through overall.
And focus fire, like you mentioned there, that's a huge factor. That's a really core fundamental concept of X-Wing. Generally, it's better to shoot one ship than spread damage out across a bunch. The obvious reason for that being that once you remove a piece from the board or a ship from the board, that's a gun taken away. So it actually affects your opponent's offensive potential. Whereas if you just spread damage out equally, all those ships still shoot generally at the same rate, and they're just going to be able to focus in on you and destroy you. So you do want to prioritize removing opposing ships so that you can reduce your opponent's offense.
All right, so those are sort of the, you know, level zero decisions of, you know, you want to, you know, focus on the high value targets and maximize your damage. But X-Wing is a game played with two people. It's not just solitaire. So it's not a problem you can just solve, you know, when you sit down and see your opponent's list. You have to factor in the decisions that your opponent's going to make as well. And so this is where I see a lot of people make mistakes with target priority. You know, they set hard rules for themselves through the course of the game. And that doesn't really, you know, give any credit to the decisions their opponent's going to make. You know, often they're aware that, you know, my opponent's worth a lot of points. So you're going to try and go for him. So I'm going to make that as difficult as possible for you.
Yeah, because, I mean, X-Wing is a game where, for the most part, almost all information, apart from how dials are set, is publicly available to both players. So going into a match, you can, you know, if you're a skilled X-Wing player, you can pretty quickly analyze your opponent's list and figure out which ships are the most valuable and, you know, what are the core synergies of your opponent's list. Now, where this gets tricky is both players know that. So both players know what their own list is bringing and they know what their opponent's list is bringing. So that's going to be part of the game then when both players have this information available to them. That means they're going to, you know, defend their more valuable assets, or they could even use those to bait their opponent into an unfavorable position so that they can target something else. So that's where I think we fell short in our way back initial analysis of target priority, where we set it as kind of hard and fast rules, overarching strategy, where you do need to be adaptive, where even if, you know, I can target one ship as being the most valuable ship, both point-wise and, you know, damage output-wise, maybe Anakin in a Jedi Starfighter or Poe in a T-70, I can isolate that as the most valuable target, but that's not necessarily going to be the most available target, and it's not going to necessarily be one that I have, you know, ready access to deal a lot of damage to.
Right, and I just want to say that, you know, this is one of the reasons that I love X-Wing, is the mind games that you get with your opponent on, you know, target priority and, you know, baiting ships and catching your opponent off guard. Oh, I didn't think you're going to go for that. It's really fun. And I think one of the most engaging parts of X-Wing.
Yeah, I had a game a few weeks ago against Will Hegwood at a hyperspace trial. And we basically entered a game where I was flying my, you know, A-Wings and X-Wings. He was flying his X-Wings and Falcon. And we got to this really interesting engagement. I think it's interesting. I think it's some of the most fun you have in X-Wing, where basically we had asteroids in the middle and we're doing the whirlpool circling around the center until one of us makes the determination that, okay, now's the time to move in. Now's the time where I'll have the advantage. And then the other one has to start reacting to that. And honestly, it looks kind of boring to start, but that's some of the most fun I have in X-Wing is, you know, watching those moves very carefully, trying to plot your maneuvers so that you don't put yourself in a really disadvantageous position. I think that's one of the probably the best, most entertaining parts about X-Wing.
Right. And, you know, the other flip side of this is, you know, your opponent's going to make a lot of great decisions and make it difficult for you. But, you know, we're all human. We do eventually make mistakes. And so you want to recognize, you know, when your opponent put a ship out of position. Try to find, you know, weaknesses in their maneuvering through the first few turns, and then come up with a target priority plan. Okay, you know, okay, one of their X-Wings is falling behind. I can catch that one before they regroup with the rest of their squad.
Yeah, so a huge part of target priority is keeping an eye open for both mistakes your opponent makes and opportunities you have, where it's not necessarily that your opponent did a bad move, it just opens up an exchange that's maybe more favorable to you, and you need to be able to recognize that and move in and take those opportunities before they go away.
All right, so we want to continue further diving into the questions of target priority. And I think a good place to continue is looking at different list types, because the questions you're going to be asking yourself when coming up with a target priority plan are going to be different, you know, based on whether you're flying efficiency ships or aces. your game plan is going to be a little different. So the ship types that we broke down in episode 157 are the efficiency ships, aces, control or support ships, and the battleships.
And when we're talking about how you should prioritize based on your list type, there's not a whole lot to say so much on support ships, because obviously those aren't focused on offense, and battleships basically tread the same ground a lot of the other offense-focused ships do. But we really do want to look at how, if your list is based on efficiency or aces or control, how you should prioritize your targets. So let's start by looking at efficiency lists.
Right. So for efficiency lists, you know, usually you have a lot of hit points. So your limited resource when you're, you know, trying to see, you know, what points I can score is how many turns it will take me to eliminate a ship. Because, you know, efficiency lists, you know, they have, you know, a few turns that they can bring all of their arcs on the opponent. And then after that, it's not really given.
Yeah, because at that point, you're going to start losing some of your ships. Sure, you can tank some damage early on, but eventually you will start to lose your ships. So there are some big considerations you need to make with your target priority. So let's say if you're running a list comprised of a lot of cheap A-wings and X-wings, you need to ask yourself a couple questions. You want to know, is there a ship that has a strong enough defense that when you're at, you know, reduced strength, you don't have most of your ships left anymore, you won't be able to finish it off? Because this can be a huge determining factor in which ships you need to focus on in the early game.
Right. So, you know, if your opponent's bringing, you know, some TIE fighters and Darth Vader, you know, if you focus your energy on the TIE fighters on the early game, you know, if you just have, you know, one or two X-Wings left, they're not really going to stand a chance against Darth Vader with all of his force tokens and repositioning actions.
And focusing on Darth Vader may not seem like an easy option, because those TIE fighters are still a threat. They're still going to be able to lay down damage. But when you reach the end game, even if you're able to take out all of the mini swarm, you're still just not going to be able to do anything to sink damage in on that Vader.
Right. And so you definitely got to think about your opponent's, you know, very defensive capabilities. You also want to keep in mind their, you know, mobility. Because this can be a real issue against efficiency lists. You know, if there's a really fast ace with a lot of repositioning actions, that's going to be really tough for you to keep firing arcs on them turn after turn. And so if one of those aces, you know, lands in some of your firing arcs, you have to figure out, you know, if I don't finish off that ship this turn, you know, will I be able to continue to put pressure on it?
And that is a huge disadvantage efficiency lists have, is that, you know, they can easily get out positioned because they often depend on lower initiatives. So you want to make sure when you're deciding between multiple targets, try and figure out, okay, is there a target I'm going to be able to do follow-up shots on the following turn? Because maybe an ace will roll in really close to my other ships and I'll get, oh, cool, I'll get three pretty well-modded shots against it, might do some damage. But if that thing's going to be gone the next turn and I have no recourse or way to chase it down, that's probably not a great use of my first attack.
Right, absolutely. You really have to weigh, you know, how likely am I to eliminate this turn? And, you know, if I'm not, you know, will I be able to continue to put pressure on it?
And this is one of the big defects of efficiency lists, is that they have a lot of strengths, but since they don't have a huge toolbox typically of different abilities they can leverage, they have much less control over their target priority. Oftentimes, they're more bound to just take attacks of opportunity, whatever's available to them, because they don't have, you know, awesome repositioning or high initiatives to use.
Right, and I think that target priority, you know, is one of the most important decisions that an efficiency list makes. But it's tough because they don't have as much control over it. You know, they're usually moving first and the opponent gets to respond to them. But, you know, if you leave the wrong target to the end game, that can, you know, tear your ships apart. So, you know, if you're really committed to playing these efficiency ships, target priority is something I think you really do need to nail down.
On the opposite end of the spectrum, though, you have lists that focus on ace play. So you're going to be running a lot of ships that typically you have to invest a lot of points into, and they're going to run at higher initiatives with some really strong pilot abilities and upgrades. These kind of have the inverse problem of efficiency lists, where you want to start looking at, okay, what areas can I leverage my initiative advantage? What targets do I need to choose because I can use my initiative and my, you know, bulkier, more expensive ships with all the tricks, how can I use those to take down my opponent's ships?
Right. And so, you know, aces playing against efficiency lists, you know, you're really not really focusing on, you know, specific targets necessarily against the efficiency build. you're more focusing on disrupting your opponent's target priority, and doing a lot of the baiting and switching. But, you know, if you're playing against other aces who also have positioning advantage, that's where it gets pretty interesting and difficult for the ace players. So, you know, right now in the game, you can't really take, you know, all initiative sixes. So if you're playing against another player who has high initiative and is leveraging repositioning, you know, you're not going to be able to outposition all their ships necessarily. If you do, great, that's easy. But sometimes it can be a little bit more nuanced about which of your ships has a positioning advantage over some of your opponent's ships.
So let's look at an example we're running right now. So Carson, you really love the Poe Dameron, Nian Num, and Lula Lampar list. But let's say you're set up
absolutely
in a mirror match. Let's say you're set up in a mirror match against the identical list, and you have first player. So your ships are going to have to move first at each initiative level. What are the general principles you're going to follow there? What are the things you're looking for to leverage whatever advantage you can?
Right. So if you lose the coin flip or get outbid and suddenly you're player one and you got to move first, you got to set the tone of the game. That's tough. What I look for, you know, as an opening plan is, okay, well, I have one initiative six ace. So I'm definitely not going to send that at my opponent's one initiative six ace, where they will have the positioning advantage. I'm going to send that initiative six, you know, Poe at the opposing I5s, where I'll be able to leverage my repositioning, even though I'm at player one. And then, you know, I also want to look at, you know, ships like Lulo and Nian are great because they can leverage a position advantage even if they're moving first. So I can send a Lulo, you know, at a Poe or a Soon tier. And, you know, maybe that first turn they get a good shot on me, but after that, I'm behind them, and that makes it a lot more difficult for them to avoid my firing arc while putting damage on me. You know, using that back arc of the A-wing really makes it difficult for your opponent.
And then in the case of ships like Nian Num, even though you're at a lower initiative against, say, a Poe or a Soontir Fel, you have some really cool repositioning options with your pilot ability being able to shed stress from turnaround maneuvers. You'll have perfect knowledge when you set up that maneuver against an I-6, so you can really use those abilities. Or trigger abilities like the Black One title to go 4 forward and then 4K behind them. Set a really wide net that they can't really prepare for, even though they're going to be able to react to it.
Right. So overall, I'm looking for, you know, one-on-one matchups where I can create an advantage.
And then lastly, let's look at control lists that focus on control elements. The things you need to consider for this are actually similar to the problems of efficiency lists, but for a different reason. So efficiency lists can struggle against ships because they might not have the tools or enough attack dice to take a ship down like a Vader in the late game. Control ships have the same problem, but it's not necessarily focused on their offense. It's focused on whatever control effects they're bringing, if those are going to be effective when it gets down to the end game.
Right. So if I'm, you know, playing a ship like Polyp Gadali, who, you know, loves taking green tokens, well, that's pretty good against a lot of ships. But, you know, if there's like a Darth Vader or an Anakin who can still get modification without green tokens through those annoying force tokens that you can't touch, well, that means that ship's going to have to be a higher priority during the early game because my, you know, control effects won't be able to impact them late game.
And on the flip side, you need to, again, remember your opponent. They're going to be very aware of what your list is bringing. And if you're bringing in some control effect that's really effective, kind of a silver bullet to whatever their most valuable pieces are, they're going to probably prioritize getting rid of that. Because if they have a ship that really depends on getting those focus tokens, they're going to want to get rid of Polyp as quickly as possible so that you're not going to end up losing them.
Right. And so that means you have to really time, you know, when you want to put those ships at the forefront of the game. Because, you know, ships like Polyp or, you know, Captain Seaver that can really disrupt your opponent's plan, they're going to be a big target. So, you know, maybe you don't want to use it at the opening turn where they could be focused down, but bring them in, you know, the second or third turn of engagement where they can still have a powerful impact. But now your opponent has to make a lot more tougher decisions about which ship they want to focus down.
So to tie this all together, we wanted to bring in a handful of things, just like maybe four main points here that you need to consider when you're looking at which ship you need to put your target priority on. So these are kind of the a lot of the overarching ideas we've already covered, but I really wanted to emphasize these because these apply to every list you fly, things you need to consider, and they're going to help you make that decision in a given turn, who should I be prioritizing?
Yeah, so of course, you know, a great place to start is, you know, is there anything my opponent's bringing to the table that I can't handle in the late game? You know, be that, a really defensive ship that, you know, if I'm down to just, you know, one ship versus it, will I be able to push any damage through? You know, like a ship like Guri, who has high agility and pretty good defensive modification, can really shrug off one attack each turn. So if you're down to just one ship, your chances of pushing damage through on Guri are pretty slim.
Which is why you really need to be able, if you have ships like Guri that have positional advantages or defensive advantages, you need to try and prioritize it while you still have the resources to take it down. Again, this is very similar to the example we gave with Darth Vader earlier. If you get to the end game and you only have a couple A-Wings, those are not going to be able to take Guri down. You need to commit to Guri and take it off the board while you still have the opportunity to.
Right, and of course, the flip side is a ship with a really high offense that, you know, if you ignore it over the course of the game, it is going to tear you apart very quickly. And, you know, you won't be able to have a long late game because it's just destroying all of your ships. So these are, you know, threats that you just can't afford to ignore. Ships like Poe Dameron or Maul in a Sith Infiltrator. Just consistent damage turn after turn.
The other thing you want to consider is if there are any ships that are easy for you to pin down. Now, this could be a case where a good target priority is not a ship that's exceptionally valuable in your opponent's list, but it's one that you can take care of, remove from the board with little to no cost to you. So this is going to be cases where you want to leverage either an initiative advantage you have or maybe a mobility advantage you have. So we talked about the example before that if you have an initiative 6 ship, you want to send it after initiative 5 so that you make sure you can use that initiative 6 advantage to get a better position and better attacks on it. Another example I found is based on maneuvering and how your opponents set up their maneuvers, this can present opportunities for you. So I was playing a game where I was running Poe and my 3 A-Wings. I was facing off against Vader and a mini swarm. And what happened in one of the first turns is my opponent was very aggressive with the TIE swarm and went 5 forward. And my ships were kind of set up in the middle to opposite quarter of the board. At that point, I noticed that the Vader was still behind there. And I figured, well, I know it's going to take those TIE fighters at least 2 or 3 turns to get back and protect Vader. So I just pushed in really fast with my X-Wing and A-Wings. And then by probably turn 3 or 4, I was already shooting at Vader and had finished Vader off before the TIE fighters were even engaging me.
Right. And so you did it exactly right there. You know, you identified an early positioning mistake that gave you a window to really close out a ship with minimal cost back at you. You know, moving on, you know, there can be a key linchpin in your opponent's list that's not necessarily really defensive or high damage output. We're talking about those powerful control abilities or support effects that, you know, if you ignore over the course of the game, they're really going to put you behind, you know, just on an action efficiency basis.
I think one good example of this is the K2B4 tactical relay for the Separatists, which, while a friendly ship at range 0 to 3 defends, it may spend 1 calculate token. If it does, add 1 evade result unless the attacker chooses to gain 1 strain token. I was playing against a mini swarm of Vulture-class droid fighters combined with a Count Dooku carrying this tactical relay. And what happened was is I did not prioritize it getting damage through on that Dooku quickly enough so that defensive bonus was there when I ended up having to face off against those droid fighters. And just that little bit of defensive advantage they had ended up really costing me because I took a lot of damage and ended up, I don't even think, killing a single fighter that first turn.
Right. That tactical relay really ups the turn cost for taking down some of those vulture droids. You know, ships like Captain Sivor here are great examples also of, you know, a pretty good high priority just because it's such a good control effect, getting that jam token out. And, you know, it's just a TIE fighter, you know, that's a pretty easy ship to bring down if you are able to put arcs on him.
or even just any ship with the coordinate action too. These things can kind of slip past our notice because they might seem, maybe they're not too expensive or they don't seem that valuable, but that little bit of advantage they give to other ships over time, where, you know, the more coordinates a ship is able to provide on another more valuable ship, that's going to be an advantage that your opponent's gaining on you throughout the game. So if you don't prioritize getting those off the board when you can, that might end up coming back around to hurt you. And the last point I wanted to bring up was one that has always been a struggle for me, which is knowing the difference between an opportunity and just a pot shot. So this is something I bring up because there'll be situations where you've kind of set a priority. You have a good target priority. You know what you need to take off the board. And then for whatever reason, a ship flies into your firing arc at range one and you've got a focus token. And suddenly you have to decide, do I take the range two shot at the tokened up, partially damaged Darth Vader, or do I just try to blow up that TIE fighter in one shot? And sometimes this can be a hard decision. There might be situations where the TIE fighter is the wiser decision. There might be opportunities. There might be times when the Darth Vader shot's the wiser decision. But you need to make sure that you're making a good decision here where, well, sure, maybe I could blow up the TIE fighter in one shot, but if that means that my other ships aren't going to be able to put out the damage they need to on Vader, maybe that's not even the wisest decision, even if it works out in my favor.
Right. So you kind of have to put it all together, you know, look at the scoreboard, see where you're at points wise. How much is that TIE fighter worth? You know, do I already have half points on Vader? And you also want to look at, you know, your own ships, you know, is this the only opportunity I'm going to have to push damage through on Vader? Am I running out of my own ships to push offense through? So you kind of have to really think about all of your options because you'll end up in this situation quite a bit.
So hopefully we've given you a better idea of how to make good decisions regarding target priority in your game. Again, keep these four things in mind. You know, you want to know, is my opponent bringing anything in the late game I can't handle?
Through my opponent's movements, did they open up any key weaknesses that I can exploit on a mobility position basis?
Are there any really powerful support effects or control effects that are going to really put me behind if I don't take care of them quickly?
And of course, you know, just recognize when you've been given a great opportunity.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. If you like this show, please go on to facebook.com/Radio TCX and like our Facebook page. We're trying to get up to 1,000 likes there, so every like is really beneficial to that.
You can also follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
And if you really enjoy the show, please go on to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review along with a little written review saying what you like about the podcast and why other potential X-Wing players should listen.
And if you want to support the show directly, please consider going on to patreon.com/radiotcx and becoming a supporter of the show today. It really means so much to us.
Again, guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode, and we will talk to you next week.